Good morning. Happy Easter. Thanks for being here this morning. The Lord loves it when we come into His presence to worship Him in this special day of Easter. I hope you're enjoying all the flowers we have around. And I hope you're ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us this morning as we think about all that Christ has done for us in His death and His resurrection. Well, just a few announcements this morning. First, we did receive a letter from Hospice of the Panhandle. Panhandle just saying, the new year's off to a great start because of you. Your gift of $2,500, which we raised at the hospice breakfast, is assuring that hospice patients and their families are getting the care they need and doing it when they need it. So sincerely and with gratitude, thank you very much. And so we'll post that somewhere if anybody wants to read the rest of that. A couple other just community announcements. One is that Shiloh is having a yard sale. Don't you like their flyer? Very festive. Shiloh's having a yard sale. It's Saturday, April 29th, 8 to 2. So we'll have that posted in the back later on. And one of my other announcements is here. We already posted it on the bulletin board, so I took a picture of it. It's the Mountain Time Jesus Jam, Saturday, May 13th, 1 to 6, Cape and Bridge Volunteer Fire Department grounds. Again, a great opportunity to get out in the community. A great opportunity to share Jesus when people ask you why you're there. So plan on that. Mark your calendar. Other announcements just for church life. Bible study tomorrow morning at 10. Love to have people here for that. And prayer this week here at church at 6:30. Love to have you out for that. And Sunday school next week, we're going to start to talk about mission and vision and slogans and logos. So put your thinking caps on this week. Try to think of some of those things. I've got some sheets across the way if you want a worksheet to work off of. It does have our current mission and vision statement in there. So we'll be trying to just make them a little more concise and easier to remember. And of course, we want a slogan that's really catchy too, right? So be thinking about stuff like that this week. The first quarter council meeting will be next week. Reports are due by Wednesday in my office. You know that means until you have till Thursday, right? And yeah, but I'd like to have them by Wednesday if I could get them. And we do have a few extra prayer things going on this week. We're just lifting up Mary as she travels to her parents' house in Massachusetts today. She's flying out. Probably in the next hour, she'll be on a plane going up there. Her and her brother are flying together to pick up their parents and bring them down here into their new house on South Hooks Mill Road. So just be praying for them as they pack up this week. And as you can imagine, that's a big move for her parents. And so be praying for them that they would be encouraged to move down here to our Highview community. Lloyd Culp is back in the hospital. He was in EA Haas for a while, but has ended up back in the hospital. Dehydrated and with some infections, and so be praying for him as the hospital works to fix him back up and get him back into rehab. Phil hurt his knee this week. It doesn't sound like it's going to require surgery, but he's hobbling around a little bit, so be praying for him to be healed as well. Lori's also not feeling that well, so you can be praying for Lori, so hopefully. Okay, so at Larry and Judy Whitaker's house, there was an ambulance this morning. Okay. So let's be praying for them. All right, anything else this morning? Lucy. Oh, go ahead, Liz. Okay, so that's Atlee Constable. I was in a bad motorcycle accident Monday. Yeah, I think it was Thursday, yeah. So a bad motorcycle accident up near Hagerstown. Again, he's in an induced coma right now for some of his injuries. And he does have a blood clot in his neck that they're not willing to do surgery until they can fix that blood clot. So be praying for Atlee. And then Lucy?
Back in rhythm. If this don't work, then they're going to have to do some kind of electronic thing.
Okay.
So just keep him in prayer. And also, we have a friend that he found out this week he has lung cancer. So his name is Larry. So keep him in your prayers also. He's a truck driver with Chris.
Okay. All right, so lots of stuff going on with Chris. And of course, you know, it's never good news to hear that you have cancer. So I'll be praying for Larry as he deals with just the aftermath of that news. Anything else? Okay, well, I'd ask you to stand together. Hopefully you know, or maybe you've already looked at the responsive call to worship this morning. We are going to do this three times, which is pretty normal. Let's stand together, and I'll read, "He is risen," and you can respond with, "He is risen indeed," as we, again, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I say to you, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, what a great reminder that our Savior is a risen Savior, a Savior alive in heaven and reigning from the throne room. And Lord, as we come into your presence to worship you, we pray that you would fill us with awe and wonder of our risen Lord, so that we would be able to sing with great joy as we rejoice in his salvation. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 79, "Up from the Grave He Arose." What a great, just a great gospel message that Jesus is no longer dead, but alive. Number 79. Be seated. We're just going to read a couple of verses from the prophet Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter 7. If you want to use your pew Bible. It's on page 884. Otherwise, just grab your Bible and you start to find the prophets: Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. We're in chapter 7, verse 13. I'm going to ask Tom Jenkins to come and read these couple of verses. Again, this is a vision that Daniel has of the coming of the Son of Man in glory, long before it takes place. Tom.
Daniel 7, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came like one of our Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed.
You know, this kingdom given to the Lord Jesus Christ is given to him after his resurrection. Given to him because he has won the victory over death. Given to him as he ascends into heaven. Daniel saw that vision long before the resurrection. We on this side get to see it in glory in it even more than Daniel, as we know that this raising up of Jesus happens after he conquers death. Well, as we go to prayer this morning, we will be praising the Lord for the resurrection, but also lifting up these we've spoken of. And we will not be reciting the Lord's Prayer today, which is our normal practice, but we will be saying the Lord's Prayer during communion, so we'll save that for later. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come into your presence grateful for the resurrection, for the accounts that we have in the gospel of the wonder of it, of the fantastic, radical change that happened to the world at the resurrection. Lord, we thank you for the stories of earthquakes and other people being raised from the dead at your death. We praise you not just for the meaning of your death, but for the vision of your resurrection, for the reminder that death could not hold you, but that you are risen. Lord, it's a reminder for us of what awaits us, even in our own death, or that one day we too will rise from the dead and be united with you in glory. Lord, we see your power. We glory in your power. We wait upon your power. And we pray, Lord, that that power would be seen in the world today, this Resurrection Sunday. As people around the world, Lord, as they celebrate your resurrection, as they talk about your resurrection, as they point other people to your resurrection, we pray that your Spirit would go out, and that there would be a revival, bringing in many that have not understood your resurrection before. May they know it today, Lord. And may they know it in a way that brings them to eternal life so they too would know your resurrection. Lord, as we wait upon the answers for those prayers, we live still in this fallen world where life is fragile and life is short. And so we have these on our prayer list. Lord, we think of Larry Whitaker and Larry with lung cancer, and we think of Kay and Atlee and Mary Traveling, Lloyd Culp and the Klein family. Lord, we think of Phil. I mean, some of these requests are more severe than others. These situations, Lord, more dire than others. But we know in each of these cases, Lord, the fall is having its effects on our bodies and our very life. And so we lift these up to you, and we pray that you would heal where healing is needed, that you would comfort where comfort is required, Lord, that you would encourage where there needs to be encouragement. We pray, Lord, that you would hear the prayers of your people and move on our behalf in the lives of these we've mentioned here, and even the ones that we haven't. Lord, every week we come and we have these requests. We know that there are often requests that go unspoken, and so we lift those up to you as well. And we pray, Lord, that in the power of your resurrection, that you would have grace and mercy upon us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I would ask you to take your insert. This is your yellow insert. And turn to the side where it says Prayer of Confession at the top. And we will join our hearts together, confessing our sins before our Father. We'll do this in unison. O King and Father, your Son died and was raised up in power. Now enable us to die to our sin in repentance, so we may rise to new life in Him. We confess to you, Lord, though you should guide us, we inform ourselves. Though you should rule us, we control ourselves. Though you should fulfill us, we console ourselves. We think your truth too high, your will too hard, your power too remote, your love too free, but they are not. And without them, we are of all people most miserable. Now heal our confused minds with your word. Heal our divided wills with your law. Heal our troubled consciences with your love. Heal our anxious hearts with your presence, all for the sake of your Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the men to come forward this morning and accept our morning offering, an opportunity to return to the Lord, as I always say, a portion of that which he's given us. He is a good God, a generous God, a caring God, a loving God. Let's respond to him in the same way. Together for the doxology. Father God, we are grateful for everything you've given us. We think of these dollar bills that you've given us, and we give them back to you. But Lord, that's just such a minor thing for us this morning. Lord, we think even more importantly of the death and resurrection of Christ. He was raised for our justification, and we praise you for that as well. And we pray, Lord, because you have saved us, that our response to you would be acceptable through the blood of Christ, and that you would empower this gift to be used for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, since it's Easter Sunday, you probably won't be surprised that we're going to look at a resurrection account from one of the Gospels. So grab your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, the very last chapter in the Gospel of Matthew in your pew Bible. It's page 992. If you're in your own Bible, just find the first Gospel and go to the end. If you find Mark, work your way a little bit back to the left. Well, there was a man once having a conversation with a Brahmin priest. Now, you may not know where that is. That's a priest from one of the tribes in India. And he asked him this question: could you say that you are the resurrection and the life? And to his surprise, the Brahmin priest said, yes, I could say that. And so the other man, thinking quickly, said, okay, but could you make anyone else believe it? Could you make anyone else believe it? Listen, before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. At his resurrection, he proved his word true. At his resurrection, he proved his word was true. He exhibited his divine power. And I say to you, now everyone, everywhere, since that event is going to have to respond to that event in one way or the other. Everyone is going to have to respond to the resurrection because the resurrection power of Christ requires a response. Let's pray that we would see the responses found here in Matthew 28 and have our hearts moved to respond to the Lord in a way that glorifies Him. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that You would open up chapter 28 of the book of Matthew for us. And just this story of Your resurrection and the things that happen afterwards, Lord, move our hearts to want to respond in a way that glorifies You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the big idea this morning, again, is just the resurrection requires a response. You see, it's such a radical departure from our common experience. Right? We all agree on that, right? Any resurrection would be a radical departure from our common experience that it demands some sort of response. And we're going to see some responses here in Matthew 28. And the responses really start out as fear and joy. Fear leads some to unbelief. Joy leads others to worship. Fear and joy, unbelief and worship. Choices set before the people here in Matthew 28. Choices set before us this morning as well. Hear now the word of the Lord, which is inerrant and good for teaching and reproof. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The resurrection is a radical departure from our common experience. And we see the responses here of fear and joy. The guards are fearful. They're fearful when they experience the sight of the angel and the power they have to move the stone. They're so afraid, the text says, they became like dead men. I heard a commentator, actually I heard someone talking this morning, I was listening to R.C. Sproul on the way up here, and he says, "Isn't it interesting that the women come to find Jesus dead, and they find him alive. They expect the guards to be alive, and they find them looking dead. They're so afraid, they became like dead men, unable to respond in any way, frozen in fear." Now, the women might have responded in the same way. except the angel says, don't be afraid. Comforting words from someone whose clothes are dazzling white. And not only does he say, don't be afraid, but don't be afraid, Christ is not here, he's risen. Now, don't skip over that. Linger on that for a moment. Christ is not here. He has risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah and amen, right? The grave has no power to hold him. And the grave now has no power to hold believers either. That's what the angel is saying there. Right? Not only is Christ risen from the dead, but every person that would believe in him, the grave now has no power to hold them either. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This wasn't wishful thinking on Jesus' part. Right? This was the truth proclaimed before the event, and his resurrection proves his word true. Now, just like there's two responses at the graveside that morning, there's two responses available for us this morning, fear and joy. Fear or joy. Fear and joy, right? The women had both. The guards only had fear, but the women had fear and joy. So as you sit here this morning, it's okay if you're feeling a little bit of both. Right? It's okay if you think about this idea of the power of Christ's resurrection to be a little trembling. What does that mean? The point I want you to take away is that joy should override your fear. Joy should override your fear. Why? So that you will worship. So that you will worship. The resurrection is a radical departure from our common experience that might cause us to be fearful, but the Lord Jesus, through his angel, says, don't be afraid, come and worship. Now the problem here in our text is that for some, that fear doesn't lead to joy. It only leads to unbelief. You know, in the chapter before this in Matthew writes, in 27, beginning at verse 39, it says, those who passed by, this is Jesus on the cross, they derided him, wagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders, they mocked him. He saved others. He cannot save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. That's what they said. Let him come down and we will believe in him. Now listen, it would be one thing before Jesus died to come down off the cross and recover. Would they really believe in him then? It's another thing altogether for Jesus to die and then rise from the dead. Now, if you would believe in him when he recovers, why would you not believe in him when he's raised from the dead? Why? Because they were never going to believe in him in the first place. They are stubbornly unbelieving even after the resurrection. Now, I'm sure we've all had to face facts that we'd like to change. That's a fact I'm sure that the religious leaders of the day would have liked to change. Growing up, you know, you really would probably have facts that you would like to change. You like that certain person, but that certain person likes someone else. You really want to play shortstop, but there's another player that's better than you. You want that job promotion. Someone else gets it. And of course, we're all confronted with those character traits that we have that we would like to change, our shortcomings, our failures. It's hard to accept the truth and make meaningful changes. Nowhere is that more true than when we're confronted with the resurrection. It's such a radical departure from what we expect in life. But the resurrection verifies for us that Jesus is the Messiah. And that our choice this morning is one of fear and unbelief or one of joy and worship. The Holy One of Israel came to save His people from their sins. His desire is that you would be filled with joy and worship. At the resurrection of Jesus, the guards, right, the religious leaders, the women, they're all confronted with who Jesus truly is. Who He is. And who they are in reference to Him. That's the response, right? Deciding, who am I in reference to Jesus? When you're confronted with who Jesus is, how do you respond? When you're confronted with who you are in reference to Jesus, what's your answer this morning? Are you afraid or are you joyful? Or are you a little of both? The resurrection is a radical departure from our common experience. We also see here in our text that the fear mixed with joy, it can lead to worship, like it did for the women. Now, there's stuff taking place between the departure of the women from the tomb and the Great Commission we see here at the end, where we're told that when they see Jesus finally in Galilee, they worship. Thomas is told to touch the hands of Jesus. Thomas sees and believes. I mean, there's still some godly fear amongst them as they're trembling at the radical resurrection of Jesus when He comes into the room through a locked door and stands before them. But their joy pushes them, at the end of the chapter, to worship. I mean, they went to the mountain of Galilee, and when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. My prayer this morning is that when we look at the biblical account of the resurrection of Christ, shared by us or shared with us by multiple eyewitnesses, right? It's a verifiable event in history. There's even non-Christian, non-Jewish historians that testify to the resurrection of Christ. My prayer this morning is that we would be filled with joy and brought to worship. That we would be filled with joy and brought to worship. The fact is, Jesus rose from the dead. It verifies who He is. It verifies who we are in relationship to Him. And we must respond to Him. We must respond to His resurrection. In fact, I would say to you that each of you this morning is responding to His resurrection in one way or the other. You are responding in one way or the other. You're either pushed by fear away from Christ and unbelief, or you're pushed towards Christ with joy and worship. Which one is it for you this morning? And I would say to you, not outwardly, you're here, amen, but inwardly, which one is it for you? At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus sends out His disciples, sends them out to make more disciples. But He doesn't send them out empty-handed. But He sends them out with His authority, the authority He received at His ascension after the resurrection from the dead, where He received glory and honor and now sits on the throne. He sends you forth with that gospel authority, which the Bible tells us has great power in its working. Do you know you have that power? And does that power fill you with joy so that you will worship Him? The women in this account, the disciples, the guards, the religious leaders, they all have one thing in common with us and with each other. The grave no longer has the last say on where they will spend eternity. Believer and unbeliever alike, they will all be raised from the dead. Now think about that for a second. Because of the resurrection of Christ, every person that lives, believer and unbeliever alike, will be raised from the dead. in the city of Hanover, there's a graveyard which has been closed for a number of years. Now, this graveyard is called the Garden Churchyard. It's Henrietta Julianne Caroline von Ruling. It's not in Virginia, it's in Germany. And in this graveyard, there is, we would call it a tomb or a crypt. And in this monument, there's the normal family inscription. And then under the inscription is this statement. It says, this sepulcher, purchased for all eternity, is not permitted to be opened. This sepulcher, purchased for all eternity, is not permitted to be opened. It's in the form of steps, concrete. It's strapped down with these metal straps that are riveted together. But at some point, one little beech seed, perhaps carried by the wind, perhaps carried by a bird, falls into a crack of this foundation. And in the course of years, this little seed grew and thrived, and it mocked this proud inscription, right? It raised the massive stones from their foundation. It broke the strong iron clasp in two, and it's now called the open grave. And the open grave reminds the visitors of man's inability to put off death. And I would say, at the same time, man's inability to put off the resurrection. Okay? There's this idea of the sepulcher. You can't put off death. We're all going to die until Christ comes back. But this tree reminds us that the grave is open and that we can't put off the resurrection either. Every person will face the resurrection of Christ. There will be a day when everyone will come back to life, some to eternal life with God, some to eternal damnation. Fear and joy, unbelief or worship. I don't know what your plans are this morning for responding to the resurrection, but I want you to look at the table set before us before you decide. And know this, Jesus, he didn't come to condemn us, right, to death. He came to give us life. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to make you free. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came that you would know the power of his resurrection and be filled with joy so that you would be pushed to worship. His resurrection this morning proves to you that he has the authority to forgive you, the authority to raise you from the dead, the authority to give you eternal life. Let's respond to that power of his resurrection and the promise of his forgiveness by singing about his love. I'm going to ask you to take the other insert in your bulletin. Oh, no. Is it there? Oh, it is. Good. Wanted to make sure I had my copy. How deep the Father's love for us. I'm going to ask Joan to come up. And, you know, as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper together, okay, I want us to sing this song. I want you to listen to the words and hopefully, prayerfully, move your heart, that they would move your heart to worship. How deep the Father's love for us.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward and prepare the table for us. And as they do, I would encourage you to take just a moment to prepare your hearts before the Lord. His call here for us is to believe. Repent, believe, and come. So prepare your hearts. Well, if you have your yellow insert, as we begin to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're going to begin with a statement of our faith that we're going to recite together. This is the Apostles' Creed. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Here now the words of institution given to us by the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." There is an invitation here and a warning. The invitation is for those who have discerned the body of Christ, that they are one with Jesus Christ. Your invitation is to come, to repent of your sin, to lay your sin at the cross and come. Don't let sin keep you away from the table if you are a believer. Repent of that sin. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and come. But there's also a warning, a fencing of the table that the Apostle Paul gives here at the words of Jesus, that if you are not one with the body of Christ, if you don't believe in Him as your personal Savior, then it is dangerous for you to come. It is better for you to not partake, lest you drink and eat judgment on yourself. So I would encourage you, if you're a believer, then you are invited to the table. If you're not a believer, then you should not partake. But stay and watch and pray that the Lord would open your eyes to the goodness of this table, that you would be a believer the next time that we partake of this together. Let me pray. Lord, we do ask for these common things to be set apart for this holy purpose, that you would set apart this bread and this juice, that we would be nourished by the Spirit of Christ through them. Lord, we know there's nothing special in them. They are just common bread and juice. But Lord, the power of the Spirit behind them is radical and fantastic and wonderful. So we pray that we would know that, that we would know its power, because we know that it's the power of the resurrection that brings them to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he's with his disciples. He takes the bread and he breaks it. And he says to them, "This is my body given for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And then he takes the cup, and he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, given for the remission of sins of many. Drink of it, all of you. This is the body and blood of Christ given for us."
Thank you.
Jesus willingly went to the cross for you. Right? Not that you were willing to follow him, but that he was willing to come for you, to find you, and to give you life. This is his body given for you. Take, eat, and be nourished by him. This symbolizes the blood of Christ given for you, shed for the remissions of your sins. As Ruby was playing, taking care of all your guilty sins, right? Covering them all in the blood of Christ. The resurrection of Christ proves his power to do that. Take, drink. In the memory of Christ's death and resurrection, and in the power of the living Christ this Easter morning. Again, you can take your bulletin. I guess you actually don't need it because you guys all know this. We're going to recite the Lord's Prayer together as we move towards closing our service. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I want to encourage you to not let the Lord's Supper be an event that you walk away from without being changed. But I want to encourage you, especially on this Easter morning, to go out in the power of the resurrection that made this table meaningful for us. If the Lord was still dead and still buried, we would not have the same meaning at the table. But as I say to you, he is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Well, let's stand together. We're going to close our time singing hymn number 77. So grab your hymn books. Hymn number 77. Christ the Lord is risen today. Lord's benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. May the Lord make his presence known to you in the power of his resurrection. Amen.
Thank you.